Hello, everybody. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you're listening to Habits into Health, talking about habit change, personal growth, and recovery from addictions of all kinds. Our focus is on letting the body lead so your mind doesn't have to. Well, what does that mean, really, letting the body lead? We live in such a mentally oriented world where ideas and using the brain are so valued that we forget that our brain is part of a bigger life force. That's actually literal in terms of size, because anatomically the brain is only about 2% of the weight of the average body. But we sure do think of it as the chief CEO of life, the universe, and everything. Okay, I stole that last phrase from Douglas Adams. He wrote about life, the universe, and everything in that famous radio and book comedy show called Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which I really liked. For something that's only 2%, though, the brain, it sure does pull a lot of energy. On average, about 25% of the oxygen we breathe, and most of the glucose that we consume, siphoned off to support the brain. What we don't always honor, though, is that the body, over eons of time, developed this special part of itself to serve the whole body. The brain, then, is the servant of the body. Not the other way around. There are lots of ideas out there about habit change and addiction recovery and personal growth, and you've probably looked into some and tried some others out. About 148 million items showed up on my last Google search on the subject. And there's lots of people clamoring for the right way, the one right way to go about it. In Habits into Health, I share as best as I can what I've learned and a few decades of learning from my own life and helping people just like you who are dealing with problem behaviors that lead to all sorts of unhappiness. I've also learned about a valuable way to attend to our changes, a different level of human reality that comes from experience, which ultimately is what shapes our ideas in the first place. Doesn't mean we won't use ideas. There's lots of good research out there. But mostly, I'm taking research as a jumping-off point to support you in being the scientist in your own laboratory. This creates a satisfying way to travel through life. Today's topic is about three things you can do to set the right tone for meeting your goals. The first key is to shift your focus from fixing what's wrong to a goal of increasing your overall sense of satisfaction and contentment in your life. This first key fits right into something I bring into each Habits into Health podcast, which is an experiential component. So instead of talking about it, I'm going to lead you for a few moments in an exercise where you can learn more from yourself. Here's the deal. I'm going to invite you to do something in a moment, and if you're like many people, you'll be tempted to change something about it when it comes to your attention. However, since the point with the first key to habit change is shifting your attitude from something's wrong that needs to be corrected to being attentive to what actually is, I'm inviting you up front simply to recognize what occurs rather than trying to change something. And if you do try to change something, just recognize how quickly that occurs. So just let your attention go to your breath right now. And remember, you don't have to do anything differently about this. How you're breathing right now is just fine. I'll breathe along with you. We're setting no standards for right or wrong. There's no good or bad. There's nothing you need to do to fix or correct. As you breathe, just track your experience. And if you find yourself puzzled or confused about what I mean, one way to track is to notice the movement of your chest relative to the movement of your belly. If your hands are free, you could even let one hand rest in the center of your chest and have the other rest on your lower belly. Then track the movement of each hand. Now what comes up for you as you breathe? So many times, when I'm working with people in my office or leading a workshop, I notice how often they start critiquing or questioning how they're doing something. Sometimes this happens so quickly they've changed what they're doing before they even notice that they've been thinking, oh, I should do this differently. And if that's happening for you, just be attentive to that. No shame, no blame. Other people don't notice much movement at all in one location or in both, chest or belly. And if this is true for you, be attentive to what you tell yourself about this experience. The truth is, a lot of people actually find it challenging to maintain the way they're breathing. So it takes practice itself to allow what is and not try to do it right or better, or, you know, whatever your ideas of right or better are. The inclination to fix what's wrong is so deeply embedded that many of us don't even notice that we're doing it. Yes, it's true that you have the option of adjusting your breathing to a pace that suits what you want right now. Say if you notice that your breathing is slower or faster than you'd like, or more deep or shallow than you like. But the first key to habit change is not about any of this. That's a level of detail. It's about practicing a new habit in itself, the habit of noticing and accepting what is. If you are so busy judging who you are, or what you're doing, or how you're thinking, there's just very little space or energy left for actually changing whatever's bothering you. This is why so many sages and teachers over the ages invite their followers and students to learn acceptance, to practice non-judgment as a vital part of the process of change. If you've listened before, you know that from time to time in this show, I invite listeners to notice something in the moment. The first step in creating change is just noticing what is, because how can you change something if you don't know what it is that you're doing? You are listening to Habits Into Health, and we're exploring ways that you can help yourself change habits that are creating problems for yourself and others. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you can find out more at habitsintohealth.com. In this episode, we're talking about three things you can do to set the right tone for meeting your goals. It makes sense to begin creating an environment that will support your changes. And you've already given yourself an experience of the first key, which is to practice acceptance and non-judgment, shifting your focus from fixing what's wrong to a goal of increasing your sense of satisfaction and contentment in your life. If with every action you consider first, based on my experience from the past, if I do this now, am I likely to increase my sense of satisfaction? You will find yourself making different choices in the moment more and more often. That's certainly what's happened for me. Life wants to live. We develop patterns as a part of our natural human desire to live, to survive. We train ourselves to respond in set ways, and then we maintain those ways even as circumstances change. This tendency ties into the second key for creating an attitude that can increase your chances of succeeding in changing your problem habit or habits. This key is paradoxical, and it is, just because you believe something does not make it true. Many years ago, I created a slide presentation about a framework for personal growth. This was way before computers, so I had actual slides, those little squares that you put in a carriage, a circular carriage, that fit into a projector. Ancient technology, for sure. I inserted one slide that was a map of the world, so that the North Pole was at the bottom of the screen and the South Pole was at the top. And then I would arrange myself so when that slide came up, the way I was standing, I would be facing the audience instead of looking in the direction of the screen. When I've told about this since then, most people smile because they are not surprised to hear what happened. Every time I did this presentation, and I mean every time, the audience would begin to murmur when the slide came up. And at least one person would speak up and say something to the effect that, oh, the slide, it's upside down, it's upside down. And of course, that was my cue to say, how do you know? And that would begin a discussion about beliefs. I mean, if you were in a spaceship arriving at planet Earth, what says you'd be looking so that what we call north is in the direction we call up? We have all learned this from convention. I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing because the northern hemisphere holds more land mass, and we human beings are land-based creatures. So we probably created this belief that north is up over time based on our own bias. If you've heard another theory, let me know, because I'm happy to hear about it. We all come to believe things about ourselves and the world around us that may not in fact be true. After all, Europeans used to think that the world was flat. At the health center where I see clients, we posted a number of different quotes that are good reminders for everyone. One of them is from the Buddha, who said, "Believe nothing, no matter where you read it or who said it, no matter if I have said it, unless it agrees with your own reason and your own common sense." The trick is that many things we believe about ourselves were handed to us from others. That we are too fat, we're unlovable, that we aren't smart or smart enough, that we'll never make anything of ourselves. Maybe you were taught that people don't change, not just by words that people said, but by how they lived their own lives. If key people in your life were not adaptable in their beliefs or in their capacity to change, then what was your takeaway from that? Over time, we learn to not question these beliefs that others have and pass on to us that maybe just aren't true. We even learn to distrust our own reason and common sense. I'm guessing, though, that if you really believed everything they told you, you wouldn't be listening right now, because something in you wants to believe in your capacity to change. And in this case, you're defining your own truth, something that agrees with your own reason and common sense. Let's talk about the third key to creating habit change. Kind of segues naturally in partnership with the other two. And it is, feed what you want to grow. I'm going to tell a story that comes from the first people of North America. And as is often true with oral traditions, it has variations. I'm just going to tell it the way it was given to me. A young boy was feeling troubled about something that had happened to him, and he came to visit his grandfather. And he asked, "Grandfather, how come you are so calm no matter what happens? I want to become more like you. How can I become more like you?" And his grandfather said, "Well, I can get angry just like you. Inside each of us, we struggle. It's like this. Imagine there are two wolves walking up, and they are each hungry. And one of the wolves bristles and growls. It's angry and mean. The other is just as hungry, but it approaches in a friendlier way. And we only have enough food for one of these wolves. So there is a fight going on between them. Just like there's a battle inside each of us, between the part of us who is full of resentment or guilt, bitterness or greed, and the part of us who is kind and generous and full of love and compassion. The same fight that's going on inside you right now, it goes on inside every other person too, including me." The boy asks, but "Grandfather, what do you do? How do you know which one of the wolves will win?" He's obviously torn because he's feeling so angry. And his grandfather wisely says, "Oh, that is easy. The one that wins is the one you choose to feed." This story is familiar to many, many people. Thanks to the World Wide Web, you can find it just searching for the wolf story. And that's a good thing, because in the path of change, we all need reinforcement. The actions we take to create our own changes are reinforcing in themselves. In serving the good wolf, we experience the results that come from knowing that we've taken the high road, even if the results of a situation are themselves unhappy. The thing is, life isn't about the goal. It's about how we engage with ourselves in getting there. When you create an environment that supports change, then you are creating a deeper change that influences your habit. Maybe You can give yourself permission this week, especially when you're facing your problem habit, to feed the wolf in you that serves the good. That means first, accepting yourself, even though you may have slipped or been tempted to slip into your habit. And then, knowing that any beliefs you have about yourself because you have not yet reached your goal are just beliefs, not truths. The specifics about your habits, whether it's drinking more than you should, or smoking cigarettes or any other drug, or whether it's gossiping about people or trying to control them, or being passive, or whether it's yelling at your kids or chewing your fingernails, eating foods that are not healthy for you or not eating enough. These specifics, well, you'll just have an easier time letting go of the grip these habits have on you. If you start with the basics first, create a friendly environment in which these habits can be let go. In other shows, I'll continue more of this perspective and other ways to support you as you develop your personal plan, one that's based on your own common sense to support your change of habit. And, you know, we can all benefit from what you're learning, so send your question and comments to habitsintohealth.com. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you've been listening to Habits Into Health. I'm here to support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks for joining me.